Means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range. Oh! Yes! Yes! Yes!
Detroit basketball!
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Johnson. Aaron, it's just a two-man show like the good old days.
Yeah, it's like the good old days. No Jasper around to ruin it for us. No, I'm just kidding. Jasper, a no-show this week. It's unfortunate he had to cancel on us. But we're going to hold down the fort. We're just a few weeks away from the NBA draft. The Pistons have the fifth pick, so we've got a topic to talk about in regards to the draft. We've got some other stuff to talk about as well, just kind of in general and what's setting up to be what could be a pretty big offseason for the Pistons. So, Mike, it's like the old days. It's just you and I, the core two, I guess, is what we'll call it. And yep. Back, just us two this week, excited to get into it. And we'll have Jasper back next week, hopefully.
Yes, back to the retro days when I was recording and editing this podcast on my apartment floor at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Things have changed a little bit, but what hasn't changed is us being able to get together and talk about the Pistons, and we will do just that. We will get to some draft talk. We will get to some off-season talk as well. The draft is fast approaching. So going to try to get primed up and take in all the intel that the media outlets are providing, and one of those is sort of through smoke screens. We have to try to decipher all this information that's being hurtled at us at mock speed to determine if any of this information is even usable. So we'll get to some of that. We'll get to some other things regarding the off season. First, a word from our sponsor, and that of course is Bet Online. And our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals. The NBA finals are here. We haven't talked about it yet, but maybe we'll try to sneak some finals talk in there, as well as the NHL hockey conference finals. Major League Baseball's back on the latest fighting news, even next season's early NFL future. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device today. Sign up, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using our promo code BLEAVE. That's BLEAV to get the bonus and get into the action. Again, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV. So get on over, get your promo code ready, put it in on your first deposit, 50% welcome bonus. That's awesome. Bet Online, where the game starts. So we'll get on moving to our first topic today, and that is the Pistons being primed to make a splash this summer. We've talked a lot in our group chat over at Palace of Pistons, talking about things the Pistons could do. And, you know, we were talking before the podcast about how when we did our live stream of the NBA draft last year, how there actually wasn't a whole lot of interest when we did that live stream. And I think partially it's because they had the number one pick and everyone knew as soon as the ping pong ball dropped with the Pistons logo, they knew who the Pistons were going to pick. There was this weird belief that they were going to trade out of number one, which was never going to happen. This year is different. There's a lot of different moves that the Pistons can make. At five, they're sort of in that weird gray area where if they traded up, it wouldn't be too surprising. If they traded back, it wouldn't be too surprising. If they traded and got another lottery pick, it wouldn't be all that surprising. So they do have, you know, some wiggle room. And with Jeremy Grant being one of the most talked about trade targets of the offseason in a pretty weak free agency pool, relatively speaking, no offense to Zach LaVine, He's a, you know, Grant is a gettable player, and the Pistons are asking for a lot, and they should be. So the Pistons are, you know, could potentially be moving him. They have plenty of cap space. They have a top five pick in the draft. They've been linked to DeAndre Ayton. They've been linked to Jalen Brunson. They've been linked to Colin Sexton. And as more teams start to shape how they want to handle their offseason, we just saw the Utah Jazz, you know, who are sitting on the precipice of blowing up, you know, could move Rudy Gobert and or Donovan Mitchell. Zach LaVine in Chicago seems like he's, you know, at least going to see what other teams have to offer. Brian Windhorst of ESPN doesn't seem like super confident that he's going to leave the Bulls, but still is a possibility. And there's definitely a need for the Pistons to put somebody next to Cade Cunningham. So the Pistons are primed to make a big splash. They could, they have the pieces, they have the cap space, the players, the picks to, you know, to make a big splash. Do you really feel like they need to make a big splash? Because I don't really think so, but I think they should be creatures of opportunity. And if, you know, if something presents itself, they should be ready to pounce.
Yeah, so I think when you look at the offseason for the Pistons this summer, I think you did a really good job kind of highlighting the situation that they're in and the opportunity that could conceivably be around for them, available for them to make a big move. You look at the assets that they have. Jeremy Grant, obviously one of the most sought after names. They have the fifth pick in this year's draft. They have the cap space to absorb a big contract. And there are other factors outside of their own roster that they're connected to, and we could conceivably see them being connected to in the guys you mentioned, Ayton, Sexton, Brunson. Are there other guys that they could chase? Does a Donovan Mitchell, does a Zach LaVine, do either of those guys make sense for the Pistons? And there should be, the front office should feel pressure to make a significant move this summer. This is a team now that back-to-back bottom-tier team in the Eastern Conference, bottom-tier team in the NBA. Yes, they have a young core that's exciting. Obviously, it's fortified by Cade Cunningham, and it has some other nice pieces in Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart. But it still is a team that is lacking a severe amount of talent. This is a team that needs talent very, very much. And that's why Detroit should be working every avenue to go out and try to add as much talent as they can this offseason. And a guy like Donovan Mitchell, you know, if you look into the Utah situation, just for example, Quinn Snyder leaving the team, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting that Mitchell was shocked and disappointed by it. There's already been reports about him being unhappy and maybe looking to move out of Utah. Like, the Pistons should definitely be one of those teams calling and saying, putting together their best package and say, look, we have Jeremy Grant, we have the fifth pick, we have Isaiah Stewart, we have Killian Hayes, we have Sadiq Bey, we have future picks. Let's figure out something where both of us can come away with, if you're Utah, pieces to either A, try to stay somewhat competitive, but also have some assets to build with down the line. And then the Pistons can go get a player that's going to help take them to the next level alongside Cade Cunningham. And that's something that Detroit should be doing really with any name that comes out as a potential piece that can be acquired via the trade market. Zach LaVine, another guy that in Chicago, like, if he doesn't re-sign, if he doesn't take an extension in Chicago, if I'm Detroit, I'm definitely pulling up the phone and seeing what it would take to get Zach LaVine in. And Detroit has to be open to anything. No one on this roster is really untouchable outside of Cade Cunningham. Sadiq Bey obviously is a very promising young player, but if you can get an established all-star level player like a LaVine, you know, like a Donovan Mitchell, or if there's someone else that comes onto the table and presents itself as an option, like, the Pistons have to be willing to move anything and everything outside of Cade Cunningham to get a player of that stature. So the Pistons cannot afford to have another season next year like they have had these past years, where they're, you know, a sub 25 win team, bottom of the conference, top lottery odds. This is a team that we need to see take a jump. And when you look at the assets that they have this offseason, as well as the money, this is a team that is primed to make a move. I do think, you know, when you talk about all, they have a ton of cap space, like, it's just expected that they're going to spend that in free agency. But what we know with Detroit, is they're not the hottest free agency destination. They don't go out and get max guys via free agency. So that puts a little bit more pressure on the front office to really work the phones via trade and seek out some of these players that are maybe unhappy in their current situation. And that should allow Detroit to be a factor like Stan Van Gundy did with Blake Griffin. Now, you know, obviously that wasn't a perfect marriage between Detroit and Griffin, but something of that same type of move where the Pistons are using what they have to go and make an upgrade via the trade market, get a legitimate piece to put alongside Cade Cunningham, that you can see those two guys really being your two core pieces moving forward. I think that it's an opportunity this offseason that Detroit will have. I think there's pressure. Maybe even if Detroit isn't able to make that type of significant move, they still need to be playing the market for maybe a move that's a little bit of a tier below that, whether it's a guy like Ayton. I don't really view Sexton or Brunson as that same tier. I think they're a lower tier. But Detroit needs to be very, very active. And if even if it is just using the fifth pick and still moving Jeremy Grant, like they need to do something to really get an influx of talent into this roster, because there's only so much improvement that a team that won 23 wins or won 23 games last season is going to have without making a lot of significant moves. And, you know, the other thing is we know Troy Weaver isn't okay sitting still with the same roster. This is a guy that's overhauled this roster time and time again, bringing in different players. So I don't think we'll necessarily see him sit back and watch this offseason play out. I think we're going to see the Pistons at the forefront of some of these transactions and absolutely trying to make a splash, which is exactly what they should be doing at this point in their timeline.
So there were a lot of names there. Donovan Mitchell, many teams have already called the Jazz about trying to acquire Donovan Mitchell due to the circumstances you had mentioned, Utah sort of just hitting a wall. I don't necessarily think that they're going to trade him. I feel like they're exceedingly more likely to trade Rudy Gobert and try to get a piece to build with Mitchell. But the Pistons should definitely be one of those teams calling. What are you offering for Donovan Mitchell, all things considered? You know, the contract, age, what would you be willing to give up for Donovan Mitchell? I mean, certainly five and what else?
You're talking about a 25-year-old that has 4 years left on his contract.
He's a star.
$35 million left on his contract. Exactly. He's a star. You're throwing the kitchen sink out there for Donovan Mitchell. You're willing to give up Jeremy Grant. You're willing to give up the fifth pick. You're willing to give up Sadiq Bey. Whatever it takes to get a player of that caliber, you have to be willing to put out there. And I'm not saying Detroit has to put all their eggs in one basket and give up everything for Donovan Mitchell, but it is going to take a significant haul to bring back a guy of Mitchell's stature, a multiple-time NBA All-Star at 25 years old. He's under control for another four seasons after or going into next year. So you're getting, you know, in theory, 4 years of an all-star top 15, 20-ish NBA player, depending on where you rank him. You have to be willing to throw whatever out there. And, you know, I think if you're Detroit, Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, the fifth pick, all that has to be on the table if you have a chance to get a guy like Donovan Mitchell, because he is a foreseeable piece that you could put alongside Cade Cunningham and have a very dynamic 1-2 punch between those two players. Both of them can handle the basketball. You know, both of them can be big time players in clutch situations. Mitchell obviously brings that elite athleticism at the guard spot. He would bring explosiveness, transition offense to this team, and Cade Cunningham would get some of the pressure taken off of him, but he'd still be allowed to do his things and teams wouldn't be able to solely focus on either of them because the other one is just as dangerous. So the Pistons have to be willing to throw everything and anything out there for Donovan Mitchell. He is a legitimate all-star level player and people will nitpick him, you know, on the defensive end or whatever it may be, but there's no denying what he brings to the table. And he has proven it in his playoff performances and even in his regular season campaigns. I mean, what he has done in, you know, his 4 or 5 years in the league is absolutely remarkable. So the Pistons can't be overvaluing their assets of these guys that aren't all-star level players. Like if it takes Bay, if it takes Grant, and it takes the fifth pick, you're talking about a franchise player. You make that trade 10 times out of 10, and you figure out how to get these other role player type guys at a later point in time.
So out of the names that we sort of talked about between Mitchell, Levine, Ayton, Brunson, and Sexton, if you had to, you know, if you had to rank them just real briefly in terms of, you know, feasibly getting and considering the cost it would take to get them. I don't really know if the Pistons are in on Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if they're willing to sell everything in the kitchen sink to get him. I don't necessarily think that they should, because I don't know if what we just outlined between Five and Grant and Sadiq Bey is enough. I think other teams will, you know, will pony up. And if they still want to compete, I don't necessarily think the, you know, the fifth pick overall is going to entice them. So, and it's still very early. The Jazz have knocked down any potential trades, for, you know, involving Donovan Mitchell. But, you know, if you were to sort of just talk about some of those players, I mean, obviously Mitchell would be the biggest splash. We've talked about Ayton, Brunson, and Sexton quite a bit. What about Zach LaVine? He doesn't really fit the window of opportunity that Donovan Mitchell or DeAndre Ayton sort of represent. He's probably looking to win a championship. I mean, I think Lakers, Blazers type, you know, maybe Sacramento Kings type of teams. Would you push hard if you're the Pistons to go get a guy like Zach LaVine? I mean, you have the cap space, or you could get the cap space.
Most definitely. I mean, LaVine's only a couple of years older than Donovan Mitchell. He just turned 27. He'll be 27 throughout all of next season. He's only a couple of years older, and his production is at that same tier. I mean, this is a 25-point, 5-rebound, 5-assist game-type guy. Shoots over 38% from the three-point line, brings elite athleticism, brings some secondary playmaking, and he would fit very, very well next to Cade Cunningham. That's the type of guy where he's not necessarily good enough to be the number one piece on a title team or on a playoff team, but if you can get him to the point where him and Cade Cunningham are kind of that 1A, 1B type duo, I think there's some legitimacy behind that being a very good foundation for the Pistons. And I'm not sure if getting Zach LaVine is all that realistic. I'm not sure if it's something where it ends up being a sign and trade type of situation where they end up having to give up assets to get LaVine on top of giving up their cap space. But Detroit should absolutely be open to it. He is a guy that can score 40 in the blink of an eye. I think the Pistons are, again, in a situation where getting talent should be the number one priority, even if it costs some of your young core pieces that you are excited about. Honestly, that doesn't really matter when you're talking about guys who are all-star level players who are still relatively young. You know, Zach LaVine at 27 is still at 3, 4, 5 years of high-level basketball in the tank. So I think the Pistons should absolutely try to be a player for LaVine. I think if you're ranking guys that they should go after, obviously Mitchell and LaVine stand atop that list. DeAndre Ayton is certainly a more realistic option that feels a lot more attainable. I would probably slot him third on that list. And then some of these other guys that have been mentioned that, like I mentioned earlier, I think are a little bit of a tier below some of these previous names, Colin Sexton, Jalen Brunson, even Mitchell Robinson, you know, those guys are fine, but I don't think any of them really elevate the ceiling of this Pistons team. So I think Detroit needs to be going after higher tier talent. And you know what, if they swing and miss, then they swing and miss, but you have to try it, especially when they can be acquired via trade, because it's a lot more difficult, as we know, with the Pistons acquiring them via free agency. Now, maybe the arrival and, you know, resurgence of Cade Cunningham changes that. Maybe you know, what he's done. He's garnered certainly a lot of respect from NBA veterans across the league throughout his rookie season. Maybe that kind of changes things, but until we actually see that in action, the Pistons have to be prepared to acquire top-tier talent via trade, and LaVine and Ayton and Mitchell are all guys that, whether it's signing trades or trading for them outright, are guys that are going to present that type of situation for Detroit. They have to be ready to make those type of moves.
So DeAndre Ayton was kind of that's the name that the Pistons have been most closely linked to, just because of how things ended in Phoenix, and he only played a handful of minutes in their Game 7 loss to Dallas. The Pistons desperately need a center. That's really, you know, to me, what they need to be focusing on. I mean, whether they get Mitchell Robinson or Mo Bamba or whoever, or they trade back and get, you know, Jalen Duren or Mark Williams or something, they need a center. But DeAndre Ayton was the name that BetOnline said, you know, the Pistons are near the top or at the top in terms of odds to land DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, there is some overlap there for a sign and trade. The Suns are looking to compete right now. They could get Jeremy Grant out of it. They can get some other, you know, role players that the Pistons have to, you know, to keep their championship window propped open. But in the round table for Palace Pistons, which if you haven't checked that out, go to palacepistons.com. We recently ran a little round table with some of the writers discussing draft desires, predictions, and then what to do with Jeremy Grant. And one of the questions that was posed was about DeAndre Ayton. And if you'd give DeAndre Ayton the max in any sign and trade, or if you'd rather keep your cap space available, sign a lesser guy like a Mitchell Robinson or Mo Bamba or, you know, somebody else. Do you have any reservations about, because I was expecting everybody to say, oh yeah, give him the max. He's young. He fits what they need. He's, you know, has shown some growth over the years, you know, in Phoenix. There was some hesitation all of a sudden from some of our respondees about giving Ayton the max, whether that's due to his motor, you know, or if he's enough of a ceiling raiser to give him max money. Do you have any trepidation about giving DeAndre Ayton max dollars? Because he's going to get max dollars, and the Suns are not going to let him walk for nothing. They're going to do a sign and trade. It just seems 99.9% chance. Phoenix isn't just going to let him walk for nothing, especially since they are trying to compete for a championship.
Well, the way I see it is, if he's going to get max money, and it's already been reported that he's going to get max money, and there are numerous teams that are willing to give him max money, if you're Detroit, you have to pony up and pay that if you're serious about getting him, because you're talking about a guy that's going to be 24 next season, 17 points, 10 rebounds a game. The guy shot 64% from inside the arc. I mean, he is hyper, hyper efficient. I believe he has a three-point shot. We started seeing it a very little bit towards the end of the season and a very, very little bit in the playoffs. But I think that's a natural development in his game as he continues to work on it and gets a bit of a bigger leash, maybe in a situation in Detroit where he's asked to do a little bit more. But you're talking about a guy that produced big time, played a key role as the anchor of a top team's defense. He has legitimate NBA playoff experience. I get that it's tough to conceivably pay a center that much money that's not a Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic, and Ayton's not in that same tier. But he would significantly raise the ceiling of this team, and he fits the mold of the type of guys that you want playing alongside Cade Cunningham. I think if you looked at the impact that Marvin Bagley made with the Pistons once he got traded, having that big that could jump, run pick and rolls with Cade Cunningham, finish alley-oops, make plays inside. Like, DeAndre Ayton is 10 times the player Marvin Bagley is and does a lot of those same things and more. So you're talking about a guy that would seamlessly fit with this team. And we know Cade Cunningham can play with just about any archetype of player. Ayton is the perfect archetype to play with Cade Cunningham because of his ability to play in pick and roll. I mean, he played with perhaps the greatest pick and roll point guard of all time, one of the greatest passing point guards of all time in Chris Paul. So he has familiarity playing in those types of offenses. picking his spots. He can hit the 16, 18 footer. I think he's a legitimate prospect to become a 3-point shooter. He can be the organizer of a defense. And if everybody else is willing to pay him, kind of feels like you should be willing to pay him. Another way, it's just another one of those stories, another one of those examples of you've probably got to trade for him to acquire him. You're not going to probably be able to sign him, you know, outright in free agency. Obviously, he's restricted anyway, so Phoenix can match it, and I'm sure they will, as you said, so they can get something of return in a sign-in trade. I would pay max money to DeAndre. The Pistons have a ton of cap space. They don't have anyone that they need to commit it to right now. Cunningham's under contract. Bay's under contract. You have, and you can pay it over the tax to get those guys if it ends up being that way, and you end up building a team that is good enough to pay over the tax for. So you have to be all in on getting top-tier talent, getting that higher-level talent. Ayton is one of those guys. He's one of those best players available this summer, and I think the Pistons should be all in on trying to get him. He would definitely raise the ceiling of this team, but he would not solve all of the issues.
There's what some national writers call a small market tax, and that's sort of, you know, what the Pistons would have to pay. They'd be paying a small market tax to acquire pretty much any free agent. But, you know, you're going to have to pony up for DeAndre Ayton if you want him. I just found it very interesting that there was some fears from some of our writers about paying him the max. I thought it was very interesting and how things have flipped. I'm with you. I think you should probably just pay him. You have cap space. You need a center. You're looking to build and pair high-end players with Cade Cunningham. And like you said, he can fit with just about anybody. He has that effect and that gravity. So I'm in the same boat. I think I would pay him. I definitely would rather pay him over Jalen Brunson or Colin Sexton, you know, when push comes to shove. So in terms of splashes, since this was the topic, you're all in on making a splash.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm still a little bit hesitant because I don't want the Pistons to just throw out picks and trade Jeremy Grant and make moves for the sake of making moves. And, you know, I think they do have to maintain some tactical thinking.
Oh, I agree.
They don't have to trade Grant 100%. Either.
I agree with that 100%. If it's not, you know, a legitimate all-star level player, they don't need to go out and do something like that. But if you have a chance to get an all-star level player, like, everything has to be on the table. Just when you look at where the Pistons are at, where they need to get with a guy like Cade Cunningham, like, the clock is already ticking. That's just how it works in today's NBA. They don't need to be reckless, but if they can get a legitimate piece, they need to be aggressive in doing so.
And they don't have to trade Jeremy Grant either. I mean, you've been a major proponent of that. You know, you don't have to trade him. You could use your cap space and sign him. He is extension eligible, you know, and plan for the future by pairing him with Cade Cunningham and then, you know, the fifth pick overall. But seems like they're going to move him. It's just a matter of when and where, and then, you know, what can you feasibly get back? So, okay. Good talk about making a splash, some primers and ideas out there. We'll be looking forward to this because, you know, I kind of agree with you that, you know, they should and could be exploring a trade. And I think the NBA is just kind of oddly, eerily quiet right now. And Utah not having Quinn Snyder going in a different direction, you know, they're at a crossroads. I think that's very interesting. And we're all kind of just waiting for the next thing to fall. Like, as soon as the finals end, I feel like we're going to start to hear things that are going to quietly bubble up to the surface. So that's very exciting. So, okay, good stuff. Before we move on to our second topic, which is smoke screens regarding the draft and how we've had some conflicting information for who the Pistons may be looking to draft with the fifth overall pick. Before we get over to that, we do have an ad read from one of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. We are back. Topic number two, our final topic on this shorter podcast. We're going to talk about smoke screens. And, you know, the Pistons have been linked to a number of prospects. That's what happens when you fall out of the top three of a draft that's regarded as top three heavy and then kind of wonky after that. So there's been a lot of conflicting information. At fifth overall, there's a number of players that they've been linked to. They've been in touch and, you know, would like to take a closer look at guys like Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, Ben Mathurin. There's a number of guys. And, you know, I'm sure that there are more, that they are looking at the fifth spot. And, you know, if they are going to trade Grant, then they have to be prepared to be looking at the late lottery, you know, as well. But we've had some conflicting reports there. And we all know where these are coming from. You can just guess one, and there's a chance that they were included in these rumors, whether that be the Ringer, whether that be the Athletic or ESPN or whatever. There were some reports that the Pistons were kind of iffy on Jaden Ivey, hot and cold. Another, you know, few days later, there was a report that the Pistons really like Jaden Ivey. There's other reports that the Pistons are more interested in Keegan Murray and Ben Mathurin. There's just a lot of iffiness. And, you know, David Aldridge of The Athletic put out a really good piece that highlighted mock drafts. And I think it's worth talking about because mock drafts, much like the NFL, mock drafts generate a ton of clicks, People want to see what people think about who's going to get picked and how that's going to impact free agency and how it's going to impact the next picks after that. So there's definitely something to be said about mock drafts and these weird smoke screens that we get. Teams are not going to just divulge all this information about players and who's going to be drafted where and who likes who a lot and who's going in for a second workout or things like that. Teams are being strategic in what information they release to reporters and the media, because they are playing the long game of from now to the draft, what information I give out, how is that going to impact another team and their potential viewpoint? I mean, you know, if the Kings are all in on Jaden Ivey, is that going to change the Pistons calculus? Are they going to want to move up to four to get Ivey because they love him so much? Or, you know, are they going to just sit back and wait, or is Sacramento going to trade out four? You know, there's lots of news that changes day to day. So as a consumer of basketball content, as we both are, how do you navigate, and as a Browns fan and you as a Lions fan, having to go through very high NFL draft picks constantly, there's a ton, there is mock draft season for our two cities. There is just this aura around the draft season. How do you navigate so much conflicting, information leading up to the draft?
Well, I think first off, you have to look at where you're getting your information from. Like, obviously, there are specific people, there are specific outlets that the information that they're getting is vetted and it's fair. Like, you're not getting fake information. You're not getting something that's spun from just a certain point of view or brought up out of thin air. Like, for Detroit, obviously, you have The Athletic. You have James Edwards III. You have the Detroit Free Press, the Detroit News. Like, if these beat reporters are saying something, or if it's Adrian Wojnarowski, Shams, like, these people obviously know what they're talking about. But at the same time, you have to take everything, especially when it comes to the NBA draft or, another professional league's draft, you have to take everything that is said with a grain of salt, because for example, the Pistons, they probably like Jaden Ivey, but maybe he's not the first name on their big board. Like, maybe they do have Keegan Murray ahead of Jaden Ivey on their big board. So that could get spun a couple different ways. That could get spun as, you know, the Pistons are hot and cold on Ivey, or it could be spun as the Pistons don't like Ivey, or it could just be spun as the Pistons really like Keegan Murray and they have him ranked highly on their big board. You have to vet the information from where you're getting it from, but you have to take everything with a grain of salt, because obviously there's going to be organizations, there's going to be people within organizations that leak information with an agenda. There's going to be a front office personnel or a scouting personnel that says something, hoping it leaks to another franchise, another front office, that makes them react a certain way. And that's what you see every draft season. I think we're seeing it with the Pistons right now. And then we saw last year, even with the Evan Mobley and Jalen Green stuff, like everybody tried to create this notion that the Pistons weren't necessarily locked in on Cade Cunningham. Evan Mobley and Jalen Green were legitimate options. And I think if you really understood the situation the whole time through, you knew it was going to be Cade Cunningham who the Pistons picked first. This year, you're in a situation where part of it is the fan base, at least from what I think you and I have seen and others have seen, is it's relatively divided. There are some people that swear by Jaden Ivey. There are some people that swear Keegan Murray is the pick for Detroit. Or there are some people that might say it's Shaedon Sharpe or Benedict Mathurin. So some people are taking what they hear and mixing it with their opinion, and then they're creating an even more clouded report, clouded point of view, clouded source. You cannot do that with this information. You have to take what is said and say, look, this reporter is saying the Pistons are interested in Keegan Murray and Benedict Mathurin. And let's face it, the Pistons probably are. The Pistons are probably looking at 10 to 15 different prospects for the fifth pick alone. Does that mean that there's the same percentage chance that they take Jeremy Sochan or Jalen Duren compared to
Dyson Daniels?
Like, all these guys, you know, just because they're on Detroit's big board or just because they're interested in all those guys doesn't mean they're going to take them or have the same percentage of interest in these guys. But they're doing their job. And even if they like Dyson Daniels, doesn't mean they're going to take him with the fifth pick. They could like Dyson Daniels, and that could be a reason why they trade back into the top 10, whether that be trading Jeremy Grant or something else, so that they can get him at 7 or 8 or 9 or something along those lines.
Right.
So you have to look at where you're getting the information from. You have to understand that specifically in a draft season, every front office, every scouting department is trying to get a leg up, is trying to understand what other teams are thinking. So they're going to say things to see what other teams say, to see if they react in a certain way. If so-and-so team says, hey, we really like Jaden Ivey and we would consider trading up to take him, and that's reported as, you know, executive in, you know, the Sacramento Kings are interested in trading back because, you know, they don't necessarily love anyone at 4. Maybe that connects the dots where those two teams are trying to end up having a conversation about trading that pick. It's just that type of stuff that you have to be aware of. Like, if a legitimate reporter is saying something, odds are it's true, but it's true in a certain sense. It's true from a certain point of view. So taking everything with a grain of salt, understanding that just because it's reported so-and-so team like so-and-so player does not mean that they're going to pick that player. A lot of teams like a lot of different players doesn't mean they're going to end up on the roster. We've seen that a lot with the Pistons, just from what's been reported these past few weeks since the draft lottery. We know they like Murray. We've heard about Murray from really throughout the season that they've liked Murray. And I mean, what's there not to like about him? He's the epitome of production at the college level, playing in a legitimate conference in the Big Ten. We know they like Benedict Mathurin. How do you not like Benedict Mathurin? He's an explosive player with legitimate upside on both sides of the floor, super athletic, can shoot from outside. And Jaden Ivey, like, we know that they like Ivey. Maybe some people like him more than others inside the Pistons front office, but that's something that you have to take into consideration as well. You're getting the point of view from one person or two people inside a front office. There are probably 10 to 15 other people that also have an opinion on that player inside the front office, inside the scouting department, that have a legitimate voice in the decision that is made on draft night. So there's a lot of factors that come into play with all this stuff. And there's so much smokescreen out there. You should honestly expect that your team likes every player and would be willing to take any player, because that's really what it is at this point. And especially when you're a team like Detroit, who's already been rumored to potentially be getting another top 10 pick if they trade Jeremy Grant. Like, we've obviously heard so much about Portland and seven potentially being the spot for Jeremy Grant. You have to be, scouting more than one or two players. You have to be of knowledge of these different players, because you could end up with Jaden Ivey at five, and there's still a chance you could get Keegan Murray at seven and you know, are a different combination of players. So much is going to be said, and a lot of it is true, but there's also narratives. There's also, you know, reasons why these things get leaked. You know, so-and-so from the Detroit Pistons is not going out of his way to call up a certain reporter and say, hey, we're interested in Jaden Ivey, just to leak, hey, that the Pistons like Jaden Ivey. Like, there is a reason behind that. So that's kind of my spiel on all that. You have to really understand there's a lot going on every time you hear a report when it comes to the draft or free agency or the NBA trade deadline. There's so much that goes into that. It's not just a buddy from inside the team calling up his buddy from outside the team saying, hey, yeah, we like this guy, you should go tell everyone. Like, there's a lot more to it. There's an end, which with each leak and with each conversation about these types of things.
Right. And there are stories where it's purely a click. That's a site that is looking to get a click. They're looking, you know, to get that viewership, and that's it. And, it just goes back to the point that you made earlier, which is you have to vet where you're getting your information from. But I think David Aldridge's point about mock drafts is really interesting. And I think the general NBA fan, which we're not, we're not in that category. We're talking about the person that dips in and out throughout the season. The general person can look at mock drafts. And do you think, because it really begs the question, how impactful are mock drafts other than, you know, do they provide actual tangible information that's, you know, that's beneficial, or are they just clickbait? Because the more and more I think about it, and the more and more I've, you know, self-examined my habits when it gets to draft time of looking at mock drafts, whether that be for any sport, it really doesn't provide a lot of information. I'm looking for something to, you know, just generally read, and I don't necessarily gather a whole lot out of it, nor are they usually accurate. So what is your perception of mock drafts, I guess? Because I've kind of self-evaluated the last couple of days here since I read that and thought, I don't really think, no, it's actually not that impactful or helpful to read a mock draft. It's much easier to do your own research on an individual player or read a player profile and then make a justification based on that.
Sure. Oh, it's definitely more beneficial to do your own research and formulate your own opinions. But, you know, not everyone is looking up a mock draft for the same exact reason, right? And if I make a mock draft, I might know something about the Pistons, you know, thought process in the draft, but I'm not going to know everything that each one of these teams is thinking. There are some people that are connected enough that are able to talk to a contact within each organization or within most organizations that are able to put together a mock draft that is, you know, somewhat accurate and also provides an insight into a team's thinking and provides insight into all of these players. Like, I don't watch every single one of these prospects, in their college career or in their international career. I watch some of them because I watch, you know, the Big Ten tournament. I watch the Big Ten tournament. I watch the NCAA tournament. I watch, you know, some of the big matchups just throughout the year, but I don't watch, you know, I don't watch Gonzaga play 10, 15 times a year. I don't watch any teams really play 10, 15 times a year. So I can't give a great analysis of a player like some of these other people can. And when you mix in people that watch and write and report about college basketball for a living, when you talk about them and you compare them to Joe Schmo, like me, who may know one thing from having one connection within one organization, like the other person's mock draft is going to be much more valuable than just the Joe Schmo. Like if you're talking about Sam Vecini or Vecini, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say his last name, from The Athletic, like he's going to have a very legitimate mock draft because he has intel. He watches scouts reports on college basketball 24/7. That's his job. So I think there's value in his mock draft because you're going to get information on a team's point of view, on a team's thinking, and a fair analysis of a prospect. But if you're looking at me, who doesn't watch all these players, not at a high enough clip, and isn't connected with every team, my mock draft is essentially worthless. So it's an entertainment value as well. Like people read them to be entertained, to see if the player they want, like, let's face it, odds are half of the people that read a mock draft are just hoping to find a mock draft that shows that the player they think that the team they like,
that's exactly right,
is matched up with this person's mock draft. So they can say, oh, I like this mock draft. It has so-and-so going to the Pistons. Like if you want Jaden Ivey to be a Piston and Joe Schmo's mock draft has Jaden Ivey to the Pistons at 5, you're probably going to like that mock draft.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I was just very interesting because in reading that piece from David Aldridge, you know, it did force me to think back and be like, how much did I actually get out of mock drafts and how much of me reading mocks was just being bored in class, you know, and wanting to read something entertaining. There's definitely an entertainment piece to it. Be like, oh my gosh, they had Shaedon Sharpe going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. How bizarre is that? Look at this crazy mock draft. And, you know, there is just a component of ooh and ah that people are hoping to get out of their piece. So yeah, you know, I think I'm going to swear off of mock drafts for a while and, you know, take in information in different ways. Cause you can't gain a whole lot from them. I mean, people use mock drafts in betting to see like how accurate they were. And that stuff just, you know, I don't want to say it's like too surface level because there are mocks that are definitely not surface level, but it's just more of an entertainment piece than actual NBA content. And that's not for everybody. I don't want to generalize it. There are definitely some mocks that are really in depth. I think in general, it's just easy to put out mock draft and it just kind of gets eyeballs on it. So, you know, just to wrap up this topic here and this podcast, how much of a, you know, smokescreen do you think there is right now? I mean, the top three seems pretty much set in stone. It's really four onward that there's this weird just feeling of, you know, the Kings might trade out, Portland might trade out, you know, Washington could trade out, you know, the Pelicans could trade out because they have the Lakers pick. So, you know, how much of a smokescreen do you think is out there right now? And, you know, should fans be taking things with a grain of salt?
Absolutely they should, because who really knows what Sacramento wants to do with four? Who really knows?
Sacramento doesn't know what they want to do with four.
Exactly. And what about this report that Oklahoma City wants to trade their pick? Like, is that true? Or are they posturing? Like, are they seeing if someone's really going to send them this holy grail offer for their pick? So I think there's a ton of smokescreen out there. And while, you know, we might know that in some combination, you know, Chet, Paolo, and Jabari are going to go in the top three, like, who's going to go one? Like, I think that's pretty open. Like, I would take Paolo if I was picking number one, but I think most mock drafts currently have Jabari. And then if Jabari goes one, who goes two? Like, I think a lot would say Chet. And, you know, there's still 2 weeks left until the draft. So much can change. This, we're going to see at some point, there's going to be some talk that a Jaden Ivey or a Shaedon Sharpe could jump into the top three. That's going to be smokescreen as well. It just always happens. We see it every summer. Heck, even last year, it was Scotty Barnes who actually did jump into the top four. Like, we thought the top of the draft was set. It was going to be Cade, Mobley, you know, in some order after Cade, Mobley, Green, and Jalen Suggs. All of a sudden, Scotty Barnes jumped in at four. So there's always
– turned out to be a pretty good pick.
it actually – it worked out. But there's always something, there's always some story that jumps up late, and there's always trades that happen, obviously, on draft night. So there's so much going on right now that hasn't been leaked, that hasn't been reported, because that's actually probably the more realistic stuff going on behind the scenes. The more outlandish stuff is the stuff that ends up getting leaked. So I think there's still definitely a ton of smoke screen out there. We're going to see some more stuff leak, obviously. You'll get that late push that so-and-so is going to jump up the draft board, because we get that every year with one or two prospects, or maybe it'll be so-and-so's falling down, sliding in mocks, or, you know, in teams' draft boards. So, you know, I think this is obviously a fun time for the league, but I think, you know, just the casual follower, or, you know, the casual NBA Twitter person, you know, obviously they need to be aware that everything that gets reported, there's a narrative behind that being leaked out to you. It's not leaked out just because they're like, hey, let's tell some people what we're thinking, and let's give them an insight into what we're thinking. Like, they're not doing it for you. They're doing it with a backhanded intention.
There is intent behind it. Yes. Yep. Okay. All right. One last question, because we didn't talk too much about the draft. So let's just say that the Pistons are picking five and Jaden Ivey's gone. Who is your pick at five?
I think I like Benedict Mathurin. He was a guy
in the same boat.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like Keegan Murray too. Like, would not be a bad pick for Detroit. But, you know, I've talked about how much I like Jeremy Grant as well. And I think he has a future on this team if the Pistons want him to. You know, you can keep Jeremy Grant and draft Benedict Mathurin, and you have a guy that's a legitimate two-way player that fits very well alongside Cade Cunningham. He may not be the creator that Jaden Ivey is, but he is a consistent three-point threat. He brings a very high level of athleticism. He brings defensive versatility. He has good length. There's a lot to like about Mathurin, and I would be okay with Detroit selecting him at five. I guess even if Ivy was still on the board, I don't think that happens. I don't think Ivy gets past five. I doubt he gets past four, really. But Benedict Mathurin is a guy that I really like. I think if you look at Mathurin, you look at Ivy, you look at Murray, if the Pistons end up with one of those three guys, they're going to get a positive impact player right away, and you should be happy with that. I think Ivy's definitely still my top target. I think he has the highest ceiling out of those guys. But ending up with Mathurin or Murray would still be okay. I think if I had to pick between Murray and Mathurin right now, I'd lean towards Mathurin. But I think Detroit has some good options at five, and that kind of grouping has grown on me throughout this process.
Yeah, I was pretty out on Keegan Murray at the beginning, the very beginning, after finding out that the Pistons were going to be at five and it was a legitimate possibility that they'd get him. I'm not nearly as out on him. I think his immediate floor is pretty solid. And, you know, you said it earlier, he is the epitome of production, and it would immediately come in and make an impact. He's a go-to-work kind of guy, which Troy Weaver likes, and, you know, would probably resonate with the fans too. But I'm in the same boat. I like Ben Mathurin, as Jasper has said previously in our group chat, and as mentioned in the round table, he has that dog in him. And, you know, a consistent three-point threat makes a lot of sense for the Pistons. They need shooting in, you know, the worst way. They're one of the league's worst shooting teams overall. So I do like Ben Mathurin. I would be fine with him or Keegan Murray as well. And I'm on board with Jaden Ivey, would be top of the list of those three. So I agree. I don't think he makes it past four unless the Kings trade out of four, and then all chaos ensues. And this goes back to our smokescreen and mock draft, you know, discussion of, you know, teams can't really plan for any of these moves. So what's the point in even trying to predict? So yeah, we're on the same page. We'll have definitely more draft talk as we get ever closer to the NBA draft on June 23rd, right? It's the 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be here sooner than we think.
So we have one more podcast before it's looking like one more podcast before the draft, and then we'll either have to record that Thursday night after that first pick or Friday, and we'll go from there.
Rapid reaction podcast. We get to use those big bolded all caps words to, you know, maximize our viewership. Rapid reaction.
The offseason really, really gets going once the draft hits, because it's, you get that, you get summer league, which is just such a joy for me. I love summer league. I love seeing dudes compete for roster spots and getting a little preview into the top picks. And then you go right into the free agency too. And the trade market obviously will start booming, right around the draft. We'll definitely see some draft night trades. So it starts June 23rd. You'll definitely see some stuff in the offseason will really get going. And that's what the NBA Finals, you know, wrapping up, a week before the draft. So there's really at a point where the offseason, the NBA really isn't the offseason anymore. There's always something going on outside of like a few weeks in mid-August to, September.
Right. Yep. And we are going to be covering all of it. And like Aaron said, we will have another podcast before the draft, and we'll have probably a rapid reaction pod after the draft happens. We might even record that during and then just post it as soon as the draft ends or something like that. But we hope that you will stick with us along the way. We have some content on palacebusiness.com. Again, that round table is posted. So we would really appreciate if you would check that out. We will have player previews coming as well for draft picks. I believe we have dubbed them scouting reports, really just a genius original name. Scouting reports for most of the players that are going to be around when the Pistons are probably picking at 5. And then a few other players, if they do trade back into the lottery, we want to evaluate those guys as well. So stay in tune to palacepistons.com. We will have plenty of written content coming down the pipe. So we hope that you'll be around to see that. Aaron, that's the end of this podcast. Do you have any other final thoughts before I wrap us up?
No, I mean, it's about to get fun. So, excited to continue to bring you this content on the podcast. I'm going to check out palacepistons.com. I mean, I guess I said it last week, I'll say it again. Your guys' support of the podcast recently has been just absolutely awesome. So, we appreciate everyone tuning in, and, wherever you're listening, leave us a review, leave us a like. If you're, watching on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button. We certainly appreciate it. But yeah, your support's been awesome, and we're excited to continue to bring content. Hopefully, we can make it better and better for you.
That's a great way to end it. And I will co-sign on that. Thank you for all the support for this podcast. It, could not have imagined that we'd be having, as many listeners as we do, especially when I was recording it on my apartment floor and recording it at, editing it rather at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's been really fun to be a part of the process, and we're really glad that you're all part of it as well. So this is going to do it for this latest edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. We hope that you'll be joining us next week again as we get set for the NBA draft. And once again, thank you to our sponsors, Bet Online and Credit Karma. And we also hope you'll be joining us on palacepistons.com to check out all of our written content as well. So for Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast. We will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.